kulun tanrısına en yakın olduğu an secde anıdır.
E al punto più vicino a suo Dio solo quando si.
It's an unidentified Islamic cleric speaking to Pope Benedict XVI via translator in the Blue Mosque. An Islamic cleric is guiding the Pope, or was guiding the Pope Benedict during a visit to this Blue Mosque, which was a significant event there in Turkey as the Pope visited Turkey. What was he doing at the Blue Mosque? I can understand what he was doing at significant Marian sites there in Turkey conducting a mass. That's what the Pope does. I can understand what he was doing at the Hagia Sophia. After all, it used to be a Christian church, then became a mosque, and is now a museum. Anybody can go to a museum. I can understand what he was doing at the Orthodox Church, trying to build some bridges with the Eastern Church. But what was the Pope doing at the Blue Mosque with his shoes off and standing at the front with the Mufti, the head Mufti of Istanbul's Muslim population? We're going to be talking about the Pope's itinerary in Turkey today and his visit to this Muslim holy place, what he did there. Here in the last 45 minutes of Issues, etc., here in the third hour, it's audio open lines for your questions and your comments. Our call-in number is 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. I want to hear from you on the Pope's visit to Turkey. Have you been watching this story closely? And are you concerned at all that one of the significant stops he made here was to the main mosque of Turkey, and a little side-by-side, what was it, prayer meditation? It's hard to say what they were doing with the Islamic cleric there. He's only the second pope ever in history to visit the Blue Mosque. His immediate predecessor, Pope John Paul II, was the first. It may have been where he kissed the Quran. I don't know. Whereas Pope John Paul kissed the Quran. There was no kissing going on, but something was happening there at the Blue Mosque. It's audio open lines. We're going to hear a Fox News story on Pope Benedict's itinerary in Turkey. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Are you pleased with the Pope's trip? He had a lot of things to accomplish there. He wanted to mend fences with the Eastern Church, and then, of course, due to some comments he made about a month ago about Islam and violence, he has to mend fences with the government there in Turkey, and he has to mend fences with the Muslim population there in Turkey. Are you pleased with the Pope's trip, or are you disappointed? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address during audio open lines this Thursday, November the 30th, issuesetc@kfuo.org. This is your last opportunity for open lines, your questions, and your comments this week on Issues, etc. Well, it all started out very simple. The Pope, when he visits a country, doesn't spend time in a hotel room. His whole reason for going is to see and be seen. And the Pope wants to visit with the important, significant figures. He usually wants to deal with the Christian population. He'll go and he'll say a mass someplace. Let's find out what the Pope was up to in Turkey today. Here's a story from Fox News.
In Turkey, Pope Benedict calls for increased tolerance and freedom for Christians in Islamic nations. That message comes as Al-Qaeda condemns the Pope's trip as, quote, a crusader campaign. Greg Burke is live in Istanbul right now. Greg?
Hi, John. Well, a couple interesting visits this afternoon. One to the Hagia Sophia. That was first a church, later a mosque, now a museum. The other to the Blue Mosque. That visit, the Vatican hoping, will be a sign of goodwill and respect to Muslims. But this morning's events are really what this trip was supposed to be about. Today is the Feast of St. Andrew, patron saint of the Orthodox Church here. The main reason the Pope has made the trip, to bolster ties between the Catholic and Orthodox churches, which split nearly 1,000 years ago. It's also a boost for the spiritual head of the Orthodox Church, the ecumenical patriarch Bartholomew, who really has only a very tiny flock here in Turkey, a couple thousand people in a country which is almost entirely Muslim. Now, Benedict says divisions among the Christian churches are a counter-witness to the faith.
The divisions which exist among Christians are scandal to the word, and an obstacle to the proclamation of the gospel.
Now, finally, John, just to give you an idea of how small the Christian community here is, I was at that Mass yesterday in Ephesus, which is a city that St. Paul lived, St. John the Evangelist also lived there. Well, if you took away the security, the journalists and some foreigners who had come to that Mass, a number of Turkish Christians there could probably all fit on one bus. John?
Greg Burke, reporting live. Thank you.
All right, now that's what the Pope was up to today in Turkey. I should say the time difference is so great. It was more like last night in Turkey, our time, but he's visiting all the sites. He says a Mass. Then he goes and visits with the Hagia Sophia, museum visit, that's what it is. He has some time to spend with the Patriarch there in Istanbul. He's a leader of a very dwindling Eastern Orthodox population in Turkey. Some people even say a persecuted population there. And then he visits the Blue Mosque, one of the more ancient holy sites there. It goes all the way back to the 17th century. Now, I know you might be sitting in your car in bumper-to-bumper traffic right now, simply trying to negotiate your way home on icy roads. This is a good opportunity to listen and to give us a call with your thoughts on the Pope's visit to Turkey. I want to hear from you. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. You might be sitting at work wondering whether you will get home listening on the internet. You can email us, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Look, it's always a big deal when the Pope visits any place. He came to the United States, and there were all sorts of events. He came here to St. Louis. Do you remember what that was like? He greeted the faithful. He said huge masses. He didn't, as far as I know, he didn't visit a mosque. Now, Turkey is a Muslim country. Majority population is Muslim. It just makes me curious. What did the Pope do in the mosque? It's audio open lines. Let's listen to another piece of news. This comes from CBC of Canada. They have a story on the Pope's visit to the Blue Mosque. And after this report, I want your reaction to what was going on in that Muslim holy place in Turkey. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Should the Pope be visiting a mosque? And if he's visiting the mosque, it's one thing to walk in, look around. He's looking at the tile. It's another thing. Well, let's listen to the story from CBC Canada.
Pope Benedict is now into the third day of his historic visit to Turkey. And today he made some of his most important stops yet. He started off at the Hagia Sophia, a site that was once the spiritual center of Christianity. Then he joined Muslim leaders at the famed Blue Mosque. The CBC's Adrian Arsenault is in Istanbul and joins us now by phone. So Adrian, just tell us more about the significance of his visit to the Blue Mosque.
Well, initially this was a visit that wasn't supposed to happen. It was added to the agenda very late. Just the mere suggestion that he would go to be seen as a sign of respect. And when he crossed through the threshold of the Blue Mosque today, he became really only the second pope in history to go to a Muslim place of worship. That was, as we were listening to the Turkish commentators here with the translator, that was already seen as a sign of respect. Then he took his shoes off. That here was an extremely important gesture. He walked through the mosque. He was given a fairly elaborate description of the tiles and the history of it and the prayer places and what the special parts of the mosque meant. And then a moment that is already being described here is the critical moment of this entire trip. The Muslim cleric who was walking through the mosque turned to him and asked him if he wanted to spend 30 seconds of quiet meditation together, if the two men effectively wanted to stand shoulder to shoulder and pray quietly to themselves in the mosque. That is exactly what happened. It really was considered here a striking symbolic moment. After that, you know, they exchanged obviously carefully selected artwork, each one containing images of doves, and then they moved on. And I think it was at that point when people started to realize that he may not have said the words, "I'm sorry," but the interpretation here was that his deeds went some way to offering an apology of sorts for the words he uttered in September about Islam.
So clearly, Adrian, some of the most important events, the most symbolic moments have already taken place. How exactly is the country and the media interpreting the visit so far?
Well, initially some of the commentators who were watching this said right away that they believed that his visit to the Hagia Sophia and the Blue Mosque will create a new understanding between the two faiths of Christianity and Islam. That sounds like a very optimistic, very large ambition, but they do genuinely seem to think it will make some difference. Perhaps not immediately, but that the images of respect that have been shown over and over again will eventually work their way all around the world, and that they can't help but have some sort of effect on people here. Turks at least seem to hope on the relationship between these two religions. And also, they were taking sort of great pride, really, in his message that Islam is a religion based on reason. That was a message that was certainly welcomed by the people here in Turkey and appreciated and acknowledged. And really, at this point, they are falling all over themselves in the Turkish media, many of them anyway, to say that this trip went infinitely better than they thought it would. And the tone here is actually quite positive at this point. We'll see in the next day or two if you know, a second thought emerged, but at this point they do seem to be believing that it went better than anyone could have anticipated.
Very interesting. Adrian, thanks very much for this.
So what do you think about the Pope's visit today to the Blue Mosque in Turkey? I misspoke before. I said that John Paul II had visited the Blue Mosque. He actually hadn't. He visited a mosque in Damascus. That's where he kissed the Quran. But I'm looking through the headlines today, and it says Pope and Muslim cleric pray in Blue Mosque. Well, that's going to get my interest. I really do want to know what you think. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. The Pope was visiting the mosque. He was asked to pray with the Muslim cleric, and he did. Should he have done that? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. He's there on a diplomatic mission to mend fences with the Muslims, at least where he can, there in Turkey. As a gesture, they call it a symbolic moment, a symbolic apology for earlier linking Islam with violence, an image of respect. He's asked to pray alongside the Muslim cleric. With the Muslim cleric, it's hard to tell. I saw the video. They're standing side by side at the front of the mosque. Both of them seem to be praying silently. Should he have done this? Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. It's audio open lines. We're coming to you live this Thursday, the 30th of November, and our call-in number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Do you think it's a display of courage for the Pope to do this? Of compromise for the Pope to do this? Was it necessary politically? You know, we talk about President George W. Bush saying Islam is a religion of peace, or I believe we worship the same God. And many of you have said, look, he probably doesn't believe that, but he has to say it because, after all, he is the president. Even though he may not personally believe that, he has to say it for more or less diplomatic reasons. Is this a similar situation with Pope Benedict XVI? He may not believe that he and the Muslims are worshiping the same God or praying to the same God. But, you know, he kind of got himself into hot water. He pretty much has to do this. When he goes into the mosque, if the Mufti says, you want to pray, to say no, for heaven's sakes, we'd be hearing all these different reports on the news, wouldn't we? So he kind of painted himself into a corner. He has to. Is that the explanation? Does it satisfy you? Let's go to the phones and talk first with Matt in Florida. Hi, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd. It's pretty cold over there, huh?
It is. Oh, yeah. Don't rub it in.
I'm not going to rub it in.
All right.
Not right now. I'm kind of so far pleased with what the Pope's up to over there. I wanted to ask you a question, and then I'll elaborate a little further. Pope John Paul, I think it was when he visited, or Pope John Paul II, when he visited Turkey, did he not kiss the Quran when he was there?
Well, he was in Damascus, which is Syria.
Damascus,
yeah.
Okay. It was very similar. There was quite an uproar over that one.
Oh, yeah.
I remember quite an uproar. Of course, that was also the same kind of mission, same kind of diplomatic mission. Is this on the same, I'm going to ask you, is this on the same par with that in any way, shape, or form?
Well, I think it is on the same par, but you do not yet know, having answered that question, you do not yet know in what sense I think it's on the same par. I do believe it's of the same magnitude. The events today at the Blue Mosque with Benedict XVI and the events several years ago with John Paul II in Damascus at the mosque there in Syria, I think they're on this, they're of the same caliber.
Yeah, I tend to think that that moment is too, as a Lutheran. Of course, that's not exactly, he didn't exactly go to Turkey to be the Pope that I was. The thing about, I keep wanting to refer to him as Ratzinger because that's the way I remember him. Ratzinger was kind of a hard nose. And I kind of hope that we would have that kind of a Pope in this way. At least he hasn't backed off of and said, well, yeah, I apologize and I didn't mean it. And no, you know, back off of all of these historical things that he brought up back in September. Can't really do that. So I do kind of feel good about that. At least he didn't back off from there.
Okay, Matt, thank you very much. I got to know, though. I mean, he is, according to his own church's teaching, the vicar of Christ, the representative of Christ here on earth. And when he goes someplace, he can't stop being Pope. He may take off the hat or the robes, but he never stops being Pope. He's not afforded that luxury. So I want to hear from the rest of you. Do you think the Pope Benedict made a bold defense of Christianity during his visit to Turkey? We heard from the Canadian Broadcasting Service there what he did in the Blue Mosque. Took off his shoes as a sign of respect, looked around at the place, was polite with everyone, talked with the Muslim. He was invited to pray with the Muslim cleric there in the mosque, and he did. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Email us, issues@kfuo.org. Let's talk with Betty in Lake St. Louis. Hi, Betty, and thanks for waiting.
Yes. In the Bible, it says, he who denies the Son denies the Father who sent me. And I think he was projecting an image where he did deny the Son, because so many people will now think, oh, we're all worshiping the same God. And wasn't it Jesus who said, or he who is ashamed of me before men, him will I also be ashamed of before my Father in heaven?
I think it was Jesus who said that, Betty. Thank you very much. Well, no, there's no doubt about it. That's the crux of this question. Jesus makes it clear that he and the Father go together. You can't have the Father without the Son or the Son without the Father. That's very clear in Scripture. So here he is, the Pope Benedict XVI, praying alongside a Muslim cleric among Muslims who deny Jesus Christ. They don't deny that he existed. They deny who Jesus is and said he was. The way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me. Let's see what Kurt has to say, calling from his car. Hi, Kurt. Kurt, welcome.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hi. I don't know. I'm sitting here kind of listening to this and thinking about it, and I think I'd have to say at this point as a Christian, not knowing what the Pope was praying, and I'm not a Catholic, so that's another thing to kind of add into this, I guess. But not knowing what the Pope was praying, you know, if they were saying the same prayers together or whatever, I can kind of look at that and go, well, not knowing exactly what he was doing, this has a different feel to it than the Pope going up in a mosque and kissing the Quran.
Well, okay, let's deal with your issue. Stay on the line here, Kurt.
Okay.
We don't know what he was saying. All I saw was their lips moving, and they were both speaking something silently. I don't think they're speaking it together. He was asked to pray together with the Muslim. There's nothing rehearsed about this, by the way, because this was a more or less unplanned visit there. So let's just say we don't know what the Pope was praying. What kind of a witness, given that we don't know what he was praying, what kind of witness does that give to the world, to the Muslims around him, to the Christians, to the rest of us? What do you think, Kurt?
I'm not sure that it was the best witness. I mean, when I think about it, but it's not on the same par for me than say, the kissing of the Quran. because there's a lot of symbolism in that.
Okay, what does the kissing of the Quran say that praying alongside the top Muslim cleric in Turkey not say?
By praying alongside the top cleric in Turkey, I don't see that as making an act of fealty, maybe, is a way of describing it.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Thank you very much, Kurt. Okay, Kurt's concern about John Paul II kissing the Quran, it appears to be an act of fealty. Saying something, I'm dedicating myself, or I believe this, or I consider this to be sacred. Where the, for Kurt, the same message isn't being sent by Benedict when he prays with the Muslim cleric in Turkey today. What about the rest of you? Steve calls from his car. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing good.
Hey, good luck driving home tonight.
Well, it's not going to be luck. It'll either be skill or the providence of God, probably a little bit of both.
To say, hey, on a lighter side, you know, well, maybe he's thinking that that's a anonymous Christian, you know, the good Catholic position of the anonymous Christian.
Well, no, wait, Steve. I don't think that's on the lighter side. Although that is humorous, I don't think that's on the lighter side.
Okay.
It may well be.
That's true. That's
what
true.
Benedict was considering at this point. This guy could be an anonymous Christian. Maybe
right.
I'll pray with him.
Yeah. A little bit more serious, though, is, so, you know, it's no different than, you know, a little pinch to the Caesar. Just burn a little pinch. You know, it won't hurt.
Just a little pinch of incense, yes.
Right, yeah. And how many Christians died for a little pinch? And, you know, if I look at it this way, if he claims to be the vicar of the Christ, you know, I don't ever recall Christ making a little stop by Caesar's statue in probably this one in Jerusalem just to kind of buy off the Roman authorities.
Yeah, you're right, Steve. Thank you for the call. I don't remember any place in the New Testament where Jesus kind of makes the diplomatic swing to one of the temples. There were temples, by the way, in first century Palestine to the Roman gods. I don't recall him making a visit to any of those temples to mend fences. You know, Jesus said a lot of things that makes Benedict's comments about Islam and violence seem pale by comparison. Jesus said a lot of things that ruffled a lot of religious feathers. I don't recall him making any diplomatic gestures or going into any of those temples to pray with the Roman priests or priestesses. No, you're right. So do you think it was wise for the Pope to visit the Blue Mosque in Turkey earlier today? I mean, you go in, you walk in, the guy says, hey, you want to pray? If he says no, he's in hotter water than he was going in. So do you think it was wise to even go there in the first place? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. When we come back, 10 more minutes of audio open lines. Your thoughts, your comments, and your questions on the Pope's visit to Turkey. This break is a good time to call 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or to email us here in the studio with only 10 more minutes left in audio open lines. Issues, etc@kfuo.org. I want to hear from you. You can look at it diplomatically. You can look at it theologically. I want to look at it theologically. We'll talk more about this on the other side of the break.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen, senior editor at Concordia Publishing House, on the Christ-centered cross focus of Growing in Christ, the new Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House.
We've been very intentional in one, teaching the scriptures. We are concerned about Bible literacy. Pastors tell us they get kids in confirmation that they don't know any of the Bible stories. They don't know any of the Bible people. So we're trying to teach the Bible stories, the who, what, where, and when. But we're teaching them in the context of Christ. And every story, every week, be it Old or New Testament, connects to Christ as the Savior.
For more information about Growing in Christ, call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or find the Growing in Christ logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. It's a Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ.
6 ordinary days. Does it matter? Answers with Ken Ham, a speaker at the popular Answers in Genesis seminars. Ken, I've often heard Christians say something like this: as long as we believe God created, it doesn't matter whether we believe he did it in 6 literal days or not. What would your response be?
Well, it's certainly important to believe that God created, but it's also vital to accept that God did create everything in 6 24-hour days. Now, why do I believe this is so important? Well, let me ask this. Why do we believe in the resurrection or the virgin birth? Well, we haven't seen someone rise from the dead in our day, and we haven't observed a virgin birth in humans. We believe these things because of the words in the Bible. Now, this is my point. If we accept the plain, straightforward words of the Bible in Genesis, just as we do for the accounts of the resurrection and the virgin birth, then it's obvious that God created everything in 6 literal days. If Christians insist that the days of creation can be reinterpreted, then why not also reinterpret other biblical events? We must let God speak to us through the language of Scripture. If we don't do this, starting in Genesis, then we undermine the entire Bible.
In a free booklet, Ken Ham shows why it's so important for Christians to believe in the history found in the book of Genesis. Discover how when you read Ken's free booklet on the 6 days of creation. Just go to AnswersRadio.com.
Here's what's coming up in the days ahead on our Bible study program. Next time, we'll ask the pastor, very popular guest on Fridays, the Reverend Dr. Martin Noland of the Concordia Historical Institute will be our guest. And then on Monday, we go back into the Gospel of Luke. We'll be in Chapter 5 with Pastor Chuck Spomer. Listen to the Bible study weekday mornings at 10:05.
The Bible study on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Concordia Christian Books and Gifts, serving God's people.
On the next Midday Living Jubilee, live at 11:05 Friday on AM 850 KFUO. Join Paul Clayton and me, Diane Summers. We visit with Angela Hunt on the day that the movie opens. We talk about her novelization of the motion picture, The Nativity Story. And we talk with a local author about Christmas at Long Lake, a childhood memory. It begins at 11:05, Living Jubilee on AM 850 KFUO. What does liberty mean and who is truly free? Americans have struggled with these questions since the days of the Founding Fathers. American Visions of Liberty and Freedom is a new exhibition at the Missouri History Museum, Lindell and DeMolliver in Forest Park. Learn how others have expressed liberty and freedom. It's open now through March 18th at the History Museum, daily from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Tuesdays until 8.
And when he crossed through the threshold of the Blue Mosque today, he became really only the second pope in history to go to a Muslim place of worship.
Now, this is a little bit from CBC of Canada on their report regarding the pope's visit to the Blue Mosque in Turkey. It's open lines, issues, etc. this Thursday, November the 30th. We've got 10 minutes left. 10 minutes for you to call with your questions or comments. We're getting your thoughts on Pope Benedict's visit to Turkey, and in particular to his visit to the Blue Mosque in Istanbul earlier today, where he removed his shoes, he saw the sights, and then when asked to pray with the Muslim cleric there, he said yes, and he did. What do you think about it? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's turn the whole thing around for a second. Think of it this way. Let's say it weren't the Muslims' territory with the Pope coming in, but it were the Pope's territory with a Muslim coming in. Let's say, as a gesture of goodwill, the leading mufti of the Turkish Muslims wanted to come and visit, St. Peter's in Rome. Look around, see the beautiful mosaics, take a look at this ancient, beautiful church and complex, led up to the front of the beautiful cathedral there, where the Pope presides as bishop. And the Pope said to the Mufti, would you like to pray together? And the Muslim says yes. What if that were the image being flashed around on our television screens? The Pope praying with a Muslim on his turf. Would it be any different? Because the Pope is asked to pray in the mosque, and he does. Are you encouraged or disappointed by the Pope's visit to Turkey? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Email us at issuesetc@kfuo.org. Do you think it was wise for Pope Benedict to visit the Blue Mosque? Now, diplomatically, I mentioned this before, diplomatically, golly, it seemed to be genius. It worked. He has swayed the press there in Turkey in favor of his visit. They're calling it a resounding and unexpected success in terms of the diplomatic efforts there. Theologically, what do you think? How big of a story is the Pope's visit to Turkey to you? All right. Someone might want to draw a connection here between the Pope's visit among the Muslims to pray and the prophet Elijah's visit among the prophets of Baal to pray. You remember this story from, I think it's 1 Kings, where the prophet Elijah finds himself, even among his own people, surrounded by those who worship Baal. And there are a lot of prophets of Baal, prophets and priests of Baal there in Israel. He calls them out. He says, look, let's just meet on a mountain. And when we meet there, I'll call on my God. You call on your God. We'll see what happens. You remember the story from your Sunday school lessons? They meet together. They build their altars. Elijah says, hey, guys, you go first. And they do. The prophets of Baal spent the entire first part of the day calling upon Baal to send fire from heaven to light the altar. That's the deal. That's the bet. And someone might say, look, if Elijah can pray alongside the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, can't the Pope pray alongside the Muslims in the Blue Mosque? Or Christians pray alongside Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, whatever, wherever they want to pray. Hasn't Elijah left us an example there to follow? It's not necessarily a bad thing to pray alongside pagans or unbelievers or people of other religions. Well, let's go back to the story again here for a moment. After the prophets of Baal have spent the morning calling upon Baal and nothing happens, what does Elijah do? Does he solemnly fold his hands, close his eyes, and begin and say, okay, guys, now it's my turn. Out of respect for your God, I will pray after you, and now I'm going to pray to my God. No. What does he do? Read the Bible story. Elijah begins to mock them. When nothing happens after their feverish efforts to get Baal to answer their prayers and send fire from heaven, Elijah, the prophet of God, begins to mock the prophets of Baal, and then he begins to mock Baal. What is he, asleep? Is he off on business? Is he in the bathroom? Why doesn't he answer? Go and read it. That's exactly what he says. He mocks them. If Baal is Baal, surely he should be able to hear you. And then he takes his turn. And notice what he prays. He doesn't pray, oh God, I just want to simply show respect for everyone's path to you. All roads lead to God. No. And he doesn't pray silently. He calls out publicly in front of the altar that he had built to the true God. And he says, God, I know that you're the only God there is. Please show us that you're the only God and that you're the only God in Israel. There is no such thing as Baal to be worshipped here. And God answers. And then, in striking contrast, it wasn't a very diplomatic move. Elijah takes all the prophets of Baal down to the brook of Kidron and kills them with the sword. That's a comparison. It's a funny one, but I guess it's a comparison. Gail writes from St. Louis, I don't think the Pope has to consider his political correctness in a sense. He is the head of the Roman Catholic Church. We just made another trip to the Vatican in October, and I wonder if the Muslims had turned the planes into this beautiful structure and killed nearly 3,000 of his cardinals and bishops, would he be so quick to apologize? I don't think so. Thank you, Gail, for the thoughts. Well, this is going to be viewed. That's why it's a diplomatic success. It's viewed as a symbolic apology on the part of the Pope that he went so far as to even pray with the Muslim cleric. He must really not have meant those things he said about Islam and violence. Mary Lynn calls from Kirkwood. Hi, Mary Lynn.
Hello. I just want to say that I think the Pope was not nearly so considerate of our beloved Martin Luther, who worshiped the same God. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Well, yeah, as far as the Council of Trent goes, right after the 16th century Reformation, the last time I checked, all those condemnations of Luther and his teaching still stand. Pray with the Muslims, condemn the Lutherans. I do need to say this. If you're listening to this, you say, okay, come on. What does it hurt? The Muslims will go about their business and the Pope will go about his business. And some people might be a little confused, but come on. We live in an age where we've got to band together and get along with one another. And if that means even the symbolic gestures of praying with or alongside or whatever, with someone who doesn't believe in the same God we believe in, or maybe they do, this is the world we live in. We have to band together. We had a lot of this kind of thinking after 9/11. Come on, we're all Americans. We need to band together as Americans regardless of our creed, even if it means praying together. If you think that that's a good idea, if you think what the Pope did at the Blue Mosque, praying with the Muslim cleric, is a good idea, this is what you need to do. Here's my advice to you. You can take it, you can leave it, but I think it's good advice. You need to tell your pastor. Pastor, you know, there are a number of mosques here in St. Louis or elsewhere in the country. Pastor, you need to go visit the local imam in his mosque. And you need to pray with him. Or turn the tables. Ask the local imam to our church, pastor, and invite him to pray with you. If you believe it was a good idea, if you believe that it does not give any kind of a false witness to what Christians believe about the God they worship, the Christ in whom they trust, then you need to be consistent with your beliefs and encourage your pastor to follow Pope Benedict's example. LCMS World Relief is bringing an uncompromised message of Christ as the only Savior for all sinners to those who need that message and also desperately need the help with the matters pertaining to this body and life. They're working across the planet to help people, Christians and non-Christians, with that Christ-centered, cross-focused touch of mercy. To find out more, give them a call, 1-888-930-4438, or find LCMS World Relief at our website, issuesetc.org. You'll find the logo there. The number again, 1-888-930-4438. It's LCMS World Relief. Tomorrow on the program, Dr. Ergun Kaner is going to join us. We'll talk about Islam. And then Sunday night on 91.5 FM here in St. Louis from 10 to 11, Chris Roseborough will be our guest. We'll talk about the purpose-driven church movement. Then Monday, Greg Kokel on Can You Reject Absolute Truth and Still Be a Christian? I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.